Blog Talk Radio.
And we want to welcome you once again to the Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every week we have some vital messages to bring forth to the people so that we can have greater clarity about how we should proceed and go forth in the world. And as the song says, our roots begin in Africa, and Africa is still essential to not only our origins and home place, and whether we are residing there or elsewhere, we need to build stronger and stronger connections with Africa. As Professor John Henry Clark said long, long ago, Africa had what the world needs, and it still applies today. Africa has what the world needs, and we've got to stop the pillaging and the raping of African people and their resources. And as the president of Rwanda said recently, they take paper and print it and lend it to African people. And instead of accepting African people repaying any loans that they take with paper that they printed, they require that Africa don't repay in printed paper, but in African resources, which is another, some more raping of Africa, and on. And so we got to go back to our roots in many ways, spiritually, mentally, and physically, and economically. And we're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. to have a sober discussion about the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. And we are building the global machinery of our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. Pass it forward to who? To future generations. Tonight, we have a very vital topic because everything is about our well-being, our health, our sanity, our spirituality is vital. And the subject that we're dealing with tonight, the topic is we've been lied to about everything. COVID. We've been lied to about everything. COVID. And I am Brother Thurman. I'm a Us Lifting Us member. And we give thanks to all of the sisters and brothers that's listening to us by telephone and also by internet radio around the world. And we also so very thankful to have a beautiful sister that's going to be giving us information about how we've been lied to about everything, COVID. Sister Q. Sister Q, welcome to be with the family tonight and give us some good opening words.
Peace. Brother Thurman, thank you for welcoming me. I'm glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing some information with the family.
Good, good, good. So once again, family, we've been lied to about everything, COVID. First question, Sister Q, is why do you say we have been lied to about everything?
I say that we've been lied to about everything, not just COVID, but everything else, because as, you know, we don't listen to the radio or the TV is playing around us, and we don't really think about what is being said. But when we listen and pay attention, we hear things and we say, well, that doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, so the more we listen and the more we pay attention, the more we realize that what we're being told doesn't make sense. And if we take the time to examine it, we realize that we've been being lied to. So almost everything they tell us on the news is a lie. Most of the things that we've learned in school have been lies. And so part of what I would like to do going forward is every once in a while just come on and pick a topic where we have been lied to and share a different point of view. We'll just say it like that.
Mm-hmm. I love that, and I love how you emphasize in your last words a different point of view. And when you say a different point of view, is it because a different point of view could bring us some knowledge that otherwise we hadn't even given thought to?
I think it would bring us knowledge we wouldn't get to otherwise. And also, I think it's less antagonistic to someone if you say to them, this is just a different point of view, take it or leave it, rather than try to shove down your throat that this is the truth and you better believe what I say. Because if they have another point of view, they will feel the necessity to defend their point of view, rather than just saying, oh, okay, well, there's something else. I might think about that, you know. So that's why we call it a different. We're not trying to argue with people to make them see our side. What we want to do is present the information and give people an opportunity to say, well, you know, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't heard of that. Or, you know, I thought something was wrong, but I wasn't sure. And now that you give me this side, I could see that. Now I see where I thought it was wrong, but I wasn't clear. This helps me clarify a little bit more. So that's the whole point of it.
I love that. And I love the fact that you brought forward a way that we can communicate without arguing, and we're not intent on bringing forth whatever our point of view is or a different point of view, but to just to share, to get on that.
Sure.
Another question is, what would be the point of all the lying?
I think the primary point is to get people to do things that they would not ordinarily do that is against their best interests. we know that the people that are, we call them the elites, or some people call them the D-leads, they have an agenda. They want to get rid of a whole bunch of people, and they say this on a regular basis, you know. So, and then we have, you know, according to Sun Tzu, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. So if they can change what you think, they can get you to subdue yourself. There's a brother, what was his name? From Osadisa, Spartacus R. And he would say that without information, you can be killed. With bad information, you will kill yourself. And with good information, you can live forever. So we will get bad information so we can kill ourselves. And that's the purpose of the lie. We've been programmed since we were very little children to accept whatever experts and authority figures say, even though when we hear some of what they say, it doesn't make any sense to us, but the program is accepted anyway. You know, they're the expert, they're the authority. So you don't know enough to not accept what they're saying, even though in your gut is telling you this is crazy. Don't even go with that. But they're the authorities, they're the experts. And so we go with it, you know. And we know that it doesn't matter really whether a thing exists or not. What is important is if we believe that it exists. So if they lie to us and convince us that something exists, we will operate as if it exists and do what we're told to do, even though the thing it has never existed, you know. And since we're talking about COVID, we talk about the SARS-CoV-2 virus, it has never been isolated. It exists. It's only a computer program. That's all it is. There have been FOIA requests for various health agencies around the world. I think the last count I had was 116 health and science institutions globally were asked, do they have the isolated SARS-2 virus? And they all said, no, we don't have it. So it's never been isolated or purified by anyone at any time, anywhere, ever. However, the idea of it has been pushed on us to such a degree that we believe that there's a deadly virus and we'll do whatever we're told to do to protect ourselves from it. And the only place it exists is on somebody's computer. So when they say, oh, it leaked from this lab or this place was operating, you know, was working with it, doing gain of function. And they make up all of this stuff in order for you to think it's real, you know, because if it didn't have a history and a story with it, you might become suspicious, right? But since they can tell you, oh, yeah, it leaks from here, and then somebody else, oh, no, we never had it. It was over there. And they go back and forth with it, and you get caught up in the idea of where did it come from, and you never say, but, you know, I've never seen a model of it. You know, I've seen the picture of it, a computer-generated image that they told me this is what the SARS-CoV-2 virus looked like, but nobody has shown you a slide with it on, which, you know, you know how they do the slides and they do the microscope and they take a picture and they show you what was in the microscope. They've never done that because the thing doesn't exist. So that is one of the things that we want people to understand. So then they might calm down, be so terrified, you know, although the purpose of the whole exercise was to terrify people. So, and you know that the tests were not meant to find the disease because they knew there was no disease. So the test was just meant to generate cases. And so we had a pandemic of cases, and what the test, you know, in the beginning, the president of Tanzania, I think it was, remember he sent, they gave him tests, and he sent a papaya, a goat, some motor oil, some cooking oil, and several other things that they dipped in the test, and they sent it back, and all of these things were declared to be positive for COVID. So the test was not for, it was just, the purpose of the test was to hype the fear, because it was a fear-driven psychological operation, because when you got scared enough, you would fall into the second part of the operation, which was take the vaccine. That's what the whole COVID fear, it was, what would they call it? A trauma-based psychological operation. People were being tortured. People were being made to think, what did they tell you? You have to take the test so you can, if I want to go to a venue, I have to take a test. And all of this was to stimulate the idea that this whole thing was so terrible and so deadly. Meanwhile, we didn't really know anybody who died of it. And that's another part of it. What they were doing was everybody that died of anything, they were classifying them as having died of COVID. In New York, they were saying that they took all of these people that were COVID positive and they put them into nursing homes with the elderly people that were, what was the word? I forget. It'll come to me. But anyway, they put them in with the elderly, and they were saying so many of the elderly died. What they were not telling people is that in many of the hospitals and the nursing homes and places like that, when a patient tested positive, they withdrew food from them. They withdrew water from them, and they took them off their meds, and they let them die. That's what the people were dying from. They were not dying from COVID. And I think that's one of the reasons that although at one point they were making all that big noise about the governor of New York putting all these people in the nursing homes and they were dying and blah, 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 the reason they didn't take him to court is because all the lawyer would have to say is, where is the isolated virus? And they would have had to admit that there is none. And so then it would come out that how they were actually killing these people. Because remember, the program is to depopulate the planet by any means necessary. So this was a good way to do it. You know, we are manipulated by means of the infinitesimally small and the unimaginably large. So most of the time we get these numbers of things that are real, real big, or we're told something is very, very small. And we accept it because the experts say so, even though they don't give it to us in context. So they tell us that the T90 virus is going to, you know, kill all these people and to put a mask on. They don't tell you that based on the numbers that they provide, the virus is much, much smaller than the holes in the weave of the mask. So the mask is not doing any good. Now, what the mask does do is cut off your breathing. It makes so that your lungs are a good breeding ground for things that could actually make you sick. And remember, they had people who were developing pneumonia and other respiratory illnesses as a result of wearing the mask. And then they put them in the hospital. And what did they do? They put them on respirators and blew their lungs out and then said they died of COVID. They didn't die of COVID. They were murdered on the respirator. And, of course, this being a capitalist disease management system, money is involved. People, hospitals were paid, let's see, I think it was $13,000 if someone was admitted to the hospital, $13,000. If they were admitted to the hospital and they were had COVID, it was $39,000. Or maybe it was $39,000 to put them on a respirator. I don't remember. But if they died, the hospital got $100,000. So there was a financial incentive to say people had COVID and to kill them. So we were told that cover your face to protect grandma and all this other stuff. The whole thing was to see how compliant people were. Would you just, we told you to put a mask on. Did you put it on? And many people were. Not because I couldn't figure out why people were doing all this, but then I don't watch TV. So I was not aware really of the torture scenario that was being undertaken using the television. I understand they had, every day the numbers of people that were allegedly dying of COVID, and they were passing all of these stories about terrible things related to COVID. And so people were actually being terrorized and traumatized by the media to promote this COVID agenda. And you say, well, why people don't just turn the TV off? What we understand is every emotion has a chemical makeup. So when you're feeling a thing, let's say you're feeling fear, well, there's a whole chemical composition to this fear that you're feeling, and your body becomes addicted to these chemicals. So then you will go find things, and this is not necessarily a conscious decision. You don't think to yourself, oh, my fear chemicals are wearing out. I need to go get scared now. You don't think like that. It's just how it happens. And then you sit down and watch the news, and they give you enough fear, and you have, filled up your cup of fear juice, and then you can go on until the next day. You get you some more fear juice. And so that's what they do. They were just manipulating people. So.
Okay. Tell us something. You had mentioned a couple of times about COVID has never been isolated. What give, if you can, give the family, when you say isolated, what does isolated mean?
Okay, it means that that out of, let's say that, I'm trying to think of like a household, I'm going to use something that we're not going to like, okay, because it's meat. But, oh, okay, we could do rice and peas. Okay, you got rice and peas. So I'm saying to isolate the peas, I dig all of the peas away from the rice, and you're left with just peas that you can see were in the rice. Okay, so if you isolate a virus, what it is you can, whatever the surrounding soup is, you can take the virus out and you can say, this right here is the virus and nothing else. And there is what they call a Koch's postulate. I'll call it a recipe, where you should be able now to take this virus, this isolated virus, that you say, let's say you had a cough, or you gave up some, they call it spectum or something, spit, okay? You came up with a lot of spit, and we're saying that you had this disease condition and it's caused by a virus, and the virus is in the spit. So we're going to separate out. Usually they use a centrifugal kind of thing to spin the virus away from the other stuff, because everything has its own weight, so the virus would have its own weight. And you would collect all of this virus, and now I should be able to take this virus material and give it to someone else who is healthy. They don't have a cold. And, you know, put it on their, wherever, on their tongue or in their, and just give it to them some kind of way on a mucus, because it, you would need the moist, dark condition in order for it to grow. And then they should be able, that virus should be able to make the second person sick, because we're saying this is the virus, this is the cause of the disease. Now, what has never happened in the history of them trying to do this is, it's called the germ theory. They have never been able to take a germ or bacteria and from a sick person, give it to a healthy person, and make the healthy person sick. So they know that, you know, I don't know if you've seen it or read of it, you know, these stories about contagion, where they had, I think I saw a movie, I forgot the name of it, it might have been called Contagion, where this lady was classified as patient zero, and she had some virus or other, allegedly, and she was on a plane, and everybody that had been on the plane with her was contaminated because of her breathing on the plane and then recycling the air, and then everybody went off the plane and they were contaminating everybody that they came into contact with. That has not happened. It cannot happen, because you need certain conditions. If, even if viruses existed, you need certain conditions for them to grow and develop. Your body's own flora, your body's own terrain has to have certain conditions, and most people don't have it. However, the fear will generate a every disease condition has like its own, they call it like a frequency, so that you, the fear will make your body resonate at the frequency where you can create the symptoms of what they're saying is a disease, but it's not a virus or anything else. It's something that you're generating based on your thought processes.
I get that.
I don't know. Did I answer your question about isolation?
You helped us with that. And when you were talking about fear, in medical terms, they've got something called psychosomatic. In a person in their mind can create getting ready to have a heart attack or, you know, just weakness to where they fall out and be unconscious or whatever. But there are people that have generated what happened to them if they fell out on the floor and just got weak and fell out on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They generated that in their mind that is called psychosomatic. And then along with that, there's epigenetics, which will say that whatever your DNA is, you can speak specific words to yourself on a daily basis, that if you've got some DNA, or if they say in your DNA you are susceptible to whatever, you know, breast cancer or whatever, or whatever kind of dis-ease that you may supposedly have, that you can speak to your DNA and talk to it and get it to shift to where you're not ill without any medicine, without any drugs. It's called epigenetics.
Right.
But psychosomatics would something. Go right ahead.
No, you go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, so I have known of people that on a regular basis throughout their years would have a falling out or whatever, but it was something they created in their mind, and their mind brought it forth physically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Yes, there. I met a woman who she was terrified that she would catch COVID, and she had the jabs. She had two. And she was telling me that she went to the doctor, and apparently her doctor was not on the first floor in his building. So she stepped into the elevator, and she said when she got in the elevator and she pressed the number to go to whatever floor, she thought, oh, my goodness, I should not have done that. I've caught COVID. I just know it. And she said that she went ahead and visited her doctor. And when she left, she kept saying to herself, I just know I caught COVID. Because remember, there was one, Omicron, that they said was very easy to catch, but it was not as terrifying as the rest of them. So that's what the one she said. She knew she caught Omicron. And she said on her way home, she kept checking herself to see how she felt. Did she feel like she was coming down with something? And she said eventually she did feel like she was coming down with something, so she got everything. She lives by herself, so she got everything together. So the next day, if she couldn't get up, she would have everything right in hand, you know, arms reach or whatever. And sure enough, the next day she got up, she was sick. And she said she was only sick for that one day, though. And when she was telling me the story, I was like, wow, you had a powerful mind there, that you told yourself that you caught, that you got sick because you touched the elevator button. And then you kept looking for symptoms of whatever you thought this disease was, and your mind and your body worked to give you what you asked for. So I thought, and I wonder how many people, you know, because remember, people were watching the television and being terrorized, fear-induced, what you call psychosomatic illnesses, and under ordinary circumstances, these people would not have gone to get a test for anything. They would just have thought, you know, well, I just got the flu, or I just got a cold, or whatever, shook it off and kept going. But because of all the terror, they went to get tested. And the test was in itself a form of inoculation. In some instances, because they said that that swab that was being stuck way up into people's heads, some of them had nanotechnology on it, so that little piece of whatever was left in your head, and that your body had to deal with that. And so then, as your body was dealing with that, they gave that a new name. They called it long COVID, so because your body was going to have problems with this stuff. So the whole thing. At one of the press conferences with Trump and Fauci, I'm not for sure that Burks was there, but Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of Defense, is a live drill. So they admitted it was just a test run to see how people would react.
And, tell us something, Sister Q.
Beg pardon?
Yes. When you finish, I just had a question. When you finish.
Go ahead, ask your question.
Yeah. When it comes to what you just said in the last few minutes, and it was a live drill or test and other things, including you talking about the mask and the size of what kind of particles smaller can pass through the mask, wasn't the World Health Organization set up to protect the people of the world? I mean, don't we have that organization? A World Health Organization is set up to protect the people of the world. Is that true?
Well, they that's what they want us to believe. Almost every organization presents itself as if trying to help us, when actually that's not their mission. Their mission is depopulation. So the World Health Organization, basically what they want to do is manipulate health however they can, or the idea of health however they can, to get people to kill themselves, or to allow themselves to be killed. So, you know, people who are trying to kill you don't care how you die. And they come up with all kinds of plans and schemes to get us basically to kill ourselves. We cannot think when we're in a state of fear. So the whole COVID drill or operation was a torture program orchestrated by world governments and their agencies. That includes the World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and a whole bunch of other ones. And it was pushed by the CIA-controlled Mockingbird media. And what they did was give us a steady stream of scare tactics, and we would be bombarded every day, all day, every day, so that people went to the hospital who wouldn't have ordinarily gone. You know, if I mean, think about over the years. You get in the winter time, you catch a cold or get a flu or whatever. You just, you know, take your hot toddies or do whatever you do, and know it's going to be over. But because of the fear generated by the television media telling you how deadly this thing was, and I understand they were showing people pictures of people dropping dead in China and all this other stuff, people were too afraid to do that. So they took themselves to the hospital so that they could, they thought that they were helping themselves, but basically they were not, particularly if they were in what had been classified as the vulnerable classes. You know, there were people that we were told were very vulnerable to being killed by this stuff. And who were the vulnerable ones? The senior citizens, people that had what they called, and I don't remember ever hearing this before, but they may have been using this term, comorbidities. And then they had the black folks that they said were vulnerable. Now, there's a major money element to this thing too. So the senior citizens had, let's put it like this. The vulnerable just meant the people that they intended to kill. These are the targeted people. So the senior citizens, because they had pensions, they had Social Security, they had Medicare. This is money that the banks and the governments and all these other people were going to have to pay to these people, and they didn't want to have to pay. So if they kill them, the debt is no longer there. They don't have to pay them anymore. The people with two or more so-called comorbidities, again, Medicaid, Social Security supplements, insurance payments, these people didn't have money, so they wanted to not have to pay them. And then for black folks, you know, any excuse to do, they just, whatever, you know. So if you were an elderly black person with high blood pressure and diabetes, you were like, you know, 3 out of 3, you're out of here. And because we accepted the idea of people being vulnerable, then when people died, we just said, oh, they died of COVID. But it wasn't the COVID. It was, let's put it like this. When I can convince you and everybody around you that you have a deadly disease, then I can kill you and get away with murder, because people will say you died of the disease, not from the fact that I withdrew your medications, I withdrew your food, I withdrew water, and that you just lay there and die, or that I put you on a drug that was going to cause your lungs and kidneys to shut down and then put you on a ventilator and blew your lungs out. People are going to say, oh, they died of COVID. So that's a lot of what happened as well.
But to go further, Sister Q, what about science? Can we depend on them to set us free?
Okay. About the science. There's a guy, if you've been listening to Dare to Win, Brother Chewbacca quotes this guy. His last name is Harari. I don't remember. I think his first name is Yuri. I'm not for sure. But I saw a video of him saying that science is not about truth. Science is about control, or science is about power. So what he said is that there are people who go into science, individual scientists who may go into the field because they want to know the truth about their environment or about what goes on around them or whatever. He said, but really the nature of science is to control people and to have power over other people. And there's a guy, his name was William Casey, he was a CIA director in 1981, and he said, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American people believe is false. And that includes the science. And, you know, these people, see, we know they're trying to kill us. They keep, and that's not just me saying it. They say so. You know, Bill Gates, there are, I don't know how many, even on YouTube, videos of him saying that we can use vaccines to get rid of so many billions of people if we do it right, using vaccines and reproductive health and this, that, and the other, we can kill off a whole bunch of people. So why would you take medical advice from a man who has already said that he wants to get rid of a whole bunch of people, you know? Mm. And this is kind of funny, you know, but I graduated from the same medical school that Bill Gates did. So you could listen to me just like you listen to him, right?
Why not? Very powerful.
And we knew going in that coronavirus is a cold. And you have to think about why would, you know, these people who have been trying to kill you by their own admission, I have to keep saying that, by their own admission, they are trying to kill you. Why would they be trying to keep you from catching a cold? It's, to me, and this is just, maybe it's just my warped way of thinking, but if I was trying to kill up a whole bunch of people, right, and there was a deadly, let's say there really was a virus, and there was a deadly virus, and this virus was going to kill up all of these people, if I didn't do anything or say anything, all of these people would be dead. I'm trying to kill them anyway. What's the point of telling them, you know, wear a mask, stay indoors, don't hug your family? You just let them go about their business and kill off themselves. That would be the logical thing to do. But the thing is that everything they told you to do would be to weaken your body and cause, again, with the fear factor, to cause you to prevent yourself to be killed.
Yeah. Say that again now.
Beg pardon?
Yeah, say that again.
Along with the fear factor, everything that they told you to do, along with the fear factor, all of that was to help. If you did everything they told you to do, if you put on a mask, if you stayed away from your family, if you stayed, because remember they didn't want you to go outside to get any sun or fresh air, they closed the beaches, they didn't want you going to the park, everything was to do things to make your body weakened and to make you sick. That's what they told you to do. So the best thing is, you know, whenever they tell you something, ignore them. It would be better off for it.
But tell us something. You may be able to add to this. Why do they make up so many lies regarding SARS and COVID and COVID-2 and COVID? Why? Why? Tell us, give us some more of the why they do that.
Well, I think, okay, so they knew that there was no virus, all right? But what they needed you to think, I'm saying you, what do we call it, you generic, not you personally, but they needed for people to think that there was a virus or something that was going to, they needed terror. They needed to scare people. The reason for that was so that when they came with their actual murder weapon, which was the shot, people would be looking for it. They would, you know, like people would say, oh, I'm going to get the shot so things would go back to normal. Or, you know, I have to get the shot, otherwise I'll lose my job. And then you had people saying, there were people that were renting apartments that said, if you don't get the shot, you have to move out of my apartment, you know, all kinds of stuff. So that people, so that people would take the shot. That was, it was like the prelude, everything about the SARS COVID-2 thing was to, that was like the hype, we'll say. So that because of that, now people, when the shot came available, people were actually anxious to go and get it. Because I remember hearing people say, well, I can't wait till the shot comes. I'm going to get it. So I don't have to worry about wearing the mask, and I don't have to worry about this, that, and the third. And, of course, it didn't turn out like that because the whole game, the whole drill is still active. So now you have taken the shot, and they're still telling you, well, now you got to still wear the mask. Or, oh, we didn't tell you that that the shot would keep you from catching COVID, you know, or we didn't tell you that if you took the shot, you wouldn't be able to transmit COVID if you got it. So, again, they're still playing in people's heads. But the real bottom line is they expect a lot of people to die as a result of this mRNA gene therapy. And it's kind of like a game of Russian roulette because the shots were not uniform. Certain people, even, you know, like the people on the street that went in to get the shot, some people just got saline solution. Some people got a shot that had a small amount of the mRNA gene therapy. Somebody else's shot may have had twice as much. Somebody else's shot may have had three times as much. They kept juggling, as a matter of fact, they still are juggling and manipulating the formula to see. It's because it's a test. It is, we're right now, this is still the clinical trials. So there's no telling what is in the vial for anyone. That's why you have some people that take the shot and they, you know, they drop dead almost as soon as the needle is removed from their arm. Or you have people that 15 minutes later they pass, you know, they die. or they go into cardiac arrest, or they have some other serious thing go along with them, then you have people that it could be months, and then they drop dead. The idea is that you will not associate that death to the shot that they took 6 months ago. Although there are undertakers and coroners who are saying, you can tell, like 6 months later, you can tell this person had a shot because of what it has done on the inside of their body. So that's really what the whole COVID thing was about. It was to, because, see, the vaccine program is a very lucrative one, and people had stopped taking vaccines prior to this whole COVID thing. And when I say stopped, you know, I don't mean that absolutely no one was taking it, but, you know, most people were not being bothered to take the vaccine. And that's like, you know, the annual flu shot and the shots for children and whatever. People were not taking them as they had been prior because people were suspicious that these shots were causing health injuries. So the whole thing was they needed a way to, they knew they wanted to use shots to kill off people, that they needed a way to generate interest in the public to want to take the shots. And that's what the
generate interest?
Generate interest in taking the shots. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
and you also said...
Say again?
Go ahead. You also said the undertakers could tell... You were saying that the undertakers could tell by examining the bodies a month later that there was deterioration that came from something that had gotten into their body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're looking at the blood clots, the myocarditis, which is myocarditis is the heart muscle, so inflammation of the heart muscle. Pericarditis is the, I think it's the perineum, which is around the heart, the inflammation of that. And then they have the inflammation of the two, peri or myocarditis. They have found that people's internal organs are I don't know how to say it, but there's damage to the internal organs.
Okay. Well, Sister Q, our time is running out, and the audience has just been listening and taking notes, and I think if I hadn't, paused you, you'd be going on for another hour because you're really bringing some very unique information, including what the last thing you were talking about, to the organs that the undertakers have found. And this is... very informative series I think you're going to have about we've been lied to about everything. And tonight, family, it was centered around COVID and the why. But Sister Q, you did say that you're going to continue a series that will still be with a topic title such as we've been lied to about everything, and it would just be on something else we've been lied to other than COVID. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so because of the time, Sister Q, we want to thank you so much. We want to thank all of the listening audience that's been taking notes and being quiet, because there's been some very interesting and informative information, and you are giving us a lot of definitions of things, such as isolated, when you said that it had never been isolated. And we look forward to you coming back and continuing in that series about we've been lied to about everything. And family, we're here every flipping us family is here every Thursday with a different topic every Thursday from 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be back here again next Thursday. And make sure that you go to the Us Lifting Us website, uslifting.us.com, and take a very thorough look at Us Lifting Us if you have not done so, and apply for membership so that you can join us to advance, to continue to advance the cooperative economics model. And you can only apply for membership because you have to be vetted and accepted to see if you truly qualify to be a part of this family. And also coming up next to January the 12th, we are getting more topics that we're getting people to submit their topics earlier, and which is a good thing. And so next Thursday, January the 12th, Sister Adama is going to be leading a conversation. The title is Boycott the Deaf Industry. Boycott the Deaf Industry. And if you don't know what the deaf industry is and why you should boycott it, make sure you tune in next Thursday, January 12th at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Us Lifting Us weekly radio program. And also keep in mind that all of our programs are archived on Blog Talk, and the conversation tonight that anybody that missed or need to go back and take notes, which would be a good thing to do, you can go to Us Lifting Up to Blog Talk archives. And if it's not up tonight, it should be up tomorrow. And at this time, it's time for us to slide on out of the studio and slip on into some darkness, into some rest and some dream time. And we will be back here with you next week. Once again, we thank all of the family members, and we thank Sister Q for bringing forth some very good information.